Because Thomas is up to bat today. He's going to come share. So can we give Thomas a big round of applause? Come on, Thomas. Get up here.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I was recently invited to a apple pressing party, which was my first time getting fresh squeezed apples. Comes right out of the crate, right into the cup, and I heard how wonderful and delicious it would taste, and I was really excited, and it did taste really good. So I drank a cup and drank another cup because it was really, really good. But apparently that's like the equivalent of eating like 100 apples. And I had a gastrointestinal experience that lasted for like 24 hours. Painful and scary. And I think they did it on purpose. Let's get the new guy out there. Here, have another cup. So, interesting. I'm always learning new things. Let's talk about the elephant in the room, which is this scar on my face. Her. I had surgery on Monday for skin cancer, to remove cancer. And there's a little bit of a story behind that. A couple years ago, I had skin cancer on my nose. And I went to my doctor, and he did the surgery, and there was a little rash on this side of my face. And I said, "Doc, what do you think about this right here? This isn't going away. It's just always there." And he got a bottle of a container of liquid nitrogen, like a little spray can, and he just sprayed it, and it went away. And I thought that was so cool. And then a year later, I noticed another rash on this side of my face, and it was a kind of a mole, but it would just kind of grow and then shrink, and then it just would never heal. It was always bleeding. I didn't like the way it looked, and I wanted it gone. I thought, well, maybe the doc will just spray it and make it go away, just like he did the other one. And I went in there, and they did a biopsy, and thing about the biopsy was they just took the whole mole off, and then my skin just grew over it, and it looked perfect. So I said, "That's good." And they said, "Well, you have skin cancer again, and you need surgery." I went, "No, it looks great." And my daughter was just relentless in saying, "Dad, it's not good enough. I don't care how good you think it looks on the outside. There could be something down there that could metastasize and grow and send out feelers, and I'm not ready to lose you yet." She told all my other family, and everyone's all in uproar. "Dad's being an idiot." Ganged up on me, and so I went back in and got this. So instead of it just being so cool and nice and perfect on the outside, I look like a pirate now. And I'm transitioning to a pirate. And my pronouns are now captain and matey. So I was thinking about this whole experience that I had, how good it looked on the outside, but how underneath, not so great, cancer. And I thought of this scripture in the book of Matthew 23. Verse 27, 28, where Jesus is talking with the scribes and the Pharisees, and he says, "You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean." And that scripture just kind of popped into my head as I was thinking about that, and thought about us, thought about me, I thought about how we can look really good on the outside, But the cancer on the inside is unconfessed sin. We can have unconfessed sin in our lives, but look like we totally have our act together on the outside. And we can raise our hands and praise the Lord, speak Christianese, but if we're not authentically, realistically dealing with sin, the kind of sin where the Holy Spirit is convicting you, saying, deal with this, but you're not, that can fester and turn into a cancerous-like thing that separates you from God farther and farther away. Jesus said that I desire truth in the inward parts. And it's in the New Testament where it says, these people praise me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So what I'm going to try to just say real quickly today is God wants authentic, real Christians walking with him. It isn't the sin that's going to blow him away. It's the stupidity of us not dealing with our own sin and why we won't come to him or come to our brother and say, hey, bro, I've got something I'm dealing with and I need your help. So we know this, right? I mean, I'm not saying anything that I am not dealing with and that you're not dealing with, but for some reason, we don't do it. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, what are the reasons why we just don't want to deal with our sin? Well, one of them is fear. We don't want to come to God because we're in some weird way in our brain, we think God's going to be mad at us if we actually confess to what he clearly already knows, right? It's like Adam in the Garden of Eden where God comes in the cool of the day. Hey, man, where are you? He's hiding in the bushes. Why? I was afraid. We did something wrong, and now I'm afraid of what you're going to do. The other reason I think that we come or don't come to the Lord with our sin and confession is pride. Just, man, that ego. It's like I'm so not about showing weakness, you know. I'm so not about confessing my sin. And it reminds me of the story about Naaman, who was a Syrian general, great, valiant warrior. And he came down with leprosy. And he had conquered the Israel army and taken a little Israeli girl captive. And she was a servant slave in his household. And she said, you know, in my country, there's a prophet named Elisha. And he's a man of God, and God listens to him. I bet if you go to him, he'll pray for you and you'll get healed. And so, as it turns out, he does go. And when he shows up, the requirement for his healing is, just go down here to the river, dip three times, and my God will heal you. And it says that Naaman was just infuriated by this, that it was beneath him. He said, you know, our rivers back in Syria are so much cleaner. Why would I dip in this foul river? And he decides to leave. And one of his servants says, hey, if he had asked you to do some great thing to be healed, wouldn't you have done it? Why can't you just humble yourself and go? And eventually he does, and he is healed. So when we do finally come to that place where we can humble ourselves, come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need to deal with this sin in my life, we will find healing. I think of King David, after he sinned with Bathsheba, and the prophet came to him and confronted him with his sin. And David says this in Psalm 32, verse 3 and 5. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. And then he says, I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus the Christ appointed to you. If you, like I have totally been here, man, if you're in a desert time and you feel far away from God and you don't feel his presence, maybe, I don't know, maybe. Maybe there's sin in your life. Maybe there is something specific, you know, not really small, but like something specific where you know the Holy Spirit is saying, this is what I want to deal with. Like in my case, it was unforgiveness. I mean, there were other sins. He said, it's the unforgiveness that has shut the door to heaven for you because you have refused to forgive your brother from your heart. You're in a state where your prayers are just bouncing off, bouncing. They're not going up. You're stagnating. And when, by the help of the Holy Spirit, I forgave, I repented, I forgave, and I released my brother from the unforgiveness that I had towards him, oh, man, the Holy Spirit came into my life such a great way. I mean, just rivers of living water and refreshment came back into my life. And so I want to encourage anybody here today that if you're feeling distance, man, look, check out your life, man. John Wesley, who founded the Wesley or the Methodist denomination, one of his famous quotes was, I have learned to keep short accounts with the Lord. You know, back in the day, like Little House on the Prairie days, you'd go into the market and you'd buy all your food supplies, and then you just tell the guy, put it on my tab. And then when you got paid at the end of the month, you could come in and pay off your bill. It was that idea of, I don't allow my account of unconfessed sin to get really long. Because the longer it gets and the more time that goes by, the farther we get from God, easier it is for the enemy to penetrate into our lives and start messing with this us. Book of John, chapter 14, verse 30. This is Jesus speaking. For the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing on me. This is shortly before Jesus was to go to the cross. And he says, the ruler of this world's coming. He's got nothing on me. And I remember one time, long time ago, when Roy preached on this, and he used a word picture of unconfessed sin being like handles that we have. And those handles allow the enemy to come into our life and start jerking us around, pulling us around through guilt and through condemnation. Well, Jesus, being sinless, had nothing. Nothing the enemy could come and grab from him. And us, we're in Jesus now. Our sins are all forgiven, past, present, and future. So when the enemy comes at us, you say, you got nothing on me, man. I have kept short accounts with my Lord. I'm forgiven. So don't come at me with this guilt mess. I am a forgiven Christian. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Sorry. Praise God for the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Now I can't see. Amen. All right, let me see if there's one last verse I had. Nope. I already shared it, and that is, I'll read it again, though. Therefore, repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, the Christ, appointed for you. Great way to get close to Jesus is confess your sins, man. Just get real with Jesus. He is already knows everything. And there's ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, we have had a problem with being honest people. We live in a dark world, man, and our flesh does not like the light. But our God calls us to walk in the light. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son Jesus cleanses us from all sin. I don't know if I've read this, but this is a good one. Behold, you desire truth in an innermost being, and in a hidden part you make me know wisdom. That's Psalm 51. And that's what we're called to be. We're just called to be honest people. That's what God really wants. He's so pleased. He's never offended by the sin. He's never taken by surprise. He's never taken aback by whatever sin. We are going to sin for the rest of our lives until Jesus comes and raptures us up into heaven and we're given new bodies. Until that time, let's just become really great at repenting and really good at getting together with brothers who we trust and say, I want to confess something to you, man. I hate your guts. I'm kidding. Never do that. That is never a good idea. Don't ever do that. But we do need to confess our sins when we're comfortable with somebody who we know we can trust. And it says that the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We keep ourselves free so when the God of this world comes, got nothing on us. Amen? Lord Jesus, thank you so much, Lord, for the cross. Thank you for your blood. Jesus, thank you so much that we are guilt-free people, so that when he comes to cast judgment and guilt and condemnation, we can say, you got nothing on me, man. I've accepted Jesus, and he has freed me from condemnation. All my sins, past, present, and future, have been carried to the cross and nailed there. They have been cast as far as the east is from the west. And so high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy towards me because I fear him and I walk in his ways with the help of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray for the people here this morning. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here who has been struggling and, Lord, you know that you're touching them right now about something they need to deal with, just a confession, Lord, my pride has kept me from talking about this. Lord, fear of retribution has kept me from talking about this. Lord, give them the ability, I pray, to just come to you in all humility and in trust, knowing that you're a good, good Father, and that you have made provision for them so that you can extend your mercy and your forgiveness for their confession. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just want to, I often use this illustration, like relationships. Like if I was reflecting on 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If you had if you're married or if you have like a relationship with, you know, someone close, you know, a sibling, whatever, and you just didn't talk to them for a day, things get awkward, like in your household, right? Or like in your routine relationships, or maybe it's someone that you're close with at work. What if you didn't talk to that person for a week? Like, things are going to get real weird at my house. Like, hey, hello, like, oh, are we going to talk? What if you didn't talk to that person for a month? Like, the void, the gap in relationship. Like, as Thomas is preaching, I'm thinking, like, you know, like, what happens when we, you know, when we sin, like we, our like natural like tendency is to kind of like distance ourselves from the Lord. That's what shame and guilt does. It says, you know, John 16:18, the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of sin and guilt. So the Holy Spirit brings conviction so that we will repent. But when we turn and kind of like just like don't deal with it, like, and we create separation, distance, like things get weird and funky, like in our relationships. It's like I was talking about earlier about being two clicks off. Like we're off just like a little bit. Like we create like these handles, like it, like as a great illustration for us to get pulled this way and that, and things get weird, things get funky. Super good reminder. Everyone, hey, take your index finger, point at Thomas and say, thank you, Thomas. That's a great word. It's a great word. We have some a little bit extra time this morning, which I'm grateful for, because I just want to make some space to be able to pray for people. If there's anybody here that has a physical ailment, that's just like a generic term for something. You got pain in your body. You have something that's either chronic or just anything that's come up as of recent. You got physical pain in your body. Will you just raise your hand?